Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 102 in our teaching series, a study of the book of Acts with Paul's writings, titled Chapter 19, Ephesus, Part 3. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
We do welcome everyone here today. So glad you're with us. Here as we begin our teaching again in the Word of God, and those of you that are watching online, we're so glad that you're with us. We're honored that you would join us online. That very honoring that you would consider our congregation here as being part of your life as you're watching online. Thankful for those of you that have shown up every week to, as we discover and jump into the Word of God, trying to find new revelation and things that apply to our lives. I'll ask you married men a question this morning. Well, we're fixing to find out. How many men in the room that have a wife can say that you know 100% of this woman? He must have not been married very long. I'm just kidding. But truthfully, I can ask wives the same thing. How many of you think that you know 100% of that man you're married to? And or can you say, I'm sure there's more to discover? And the truth is, there is more to discover. And also there's I've been married 53 years, and I have to tell my wife, well, I never knew that. You know, these things keep coming. Well, I never knew that. Been married for 53 years, and I thought I was just real ignorant, but I found out she's been withholding information. I don't know how a male is, but I know a female is kind of on the needs to know basis. I will let you know this about me. And so it leads for an exciting life, doesn't it, men? It's a good time to say amen. Okay. But yet it's the reality of personalities. It's the reality of life. We know what we know. But let's always remember there's a whole lot we don't know yet. And there's always a part of, I've felt like in marriage, there's always a part that the female withholds information. And I'm thinking on my deathbed, maybe I'll get the last bit. I don't know. And Chuck gave a big amen. But my point is this. There's more to learn about your spouse that you don't know yet, and they haven't released the information yet. I don't hope that doesn't hurt your feelings, because most people like to live under this illusion that they know everything about their spouse. And I just bursted your bubble if you believed what I just said. But the reason I'm saying that is, if we're that way with each other and with our spouses, how much more could the Holy Spirit be that way? There's more to learn about the Holy Spirit. And we know what we know. And now this is a male problem here. A male, as soon as we think we know two or three things about you, we think we know you. That is part of our problem. We think we know everything with two or three, four bits of information. It's just the way we are. Well, shoot, I've got the main thing here, so rest of it couldn't be too hard, right? Right, man? Isn't that the way we think? But with the Holy Spirit releases things to us as we need to know it. And so we're not sitting here with all revelation of the Holy Spirit. And I stand before you with an attempt of trying to, I don't even know if you could say I'm a teacher, or at least try to moderate the Word of God. Maybe maybe I'm trying to moderate it, because I don't know that I'm that great a teacher. I teach out of what I know to this point, and I don't see myself as infallible. I don't see myself teaching with perfection. When I quote the Word of God, you can take that one to the bank. You know, I can do that. But still, at the same time, we're all sitting in this room trying to discover what the Word of God's saying to us as individuals. And the part I bank on is that I know that the Holy Spirit's real. I know the Holy Spirit's a person. I know the Holy Spirit wants to reveal truth to us as individuals. And so as I'm stumbling through the Word of God, trying to do it in a little bit of a systematic way, I have great faith that the Holy Spirit will reveal things to you and to me as the Holy Spirit wants to reveal it. And there is one thing that the Apostle Paul shows us here in Acts 19. He shows a method that he uses, which is one of repetition. But the Apostle Paul, I'm going to use the word reasons. He reasons with the people. He's teaching, and he's pretty dogmatic in his reasoning. But he falls short, in my understanding, of trying to pressure. There's a difference in things of the Spirit are quickened through understanding. It says this in Matthew 13. Matthew 13 is seven parables in that chapter. Jesus gives these parables, and then Jesus goes on to say what the parables mean. He gives the meaning of the first two parables. First parable, he speaks about, and he says there's a sowing of the word, and the next one's the wheat and the tares. But Jesus says that, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's just turn there, if you would, right quickly, to Matthew chapter 13. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13, and I'll show you my point here. And we're going to look at verse 18. Of chapter 13, we're going to take a little note here, and this is an important note. Matthew 13 has seven parables. Jesus gives them, then he gives a definition, he gives an interpretation of those seven parables by explaining the first two. So therefore, when Jesus does that, he's given an explanation of the first two parables in that same grid, if you will, or if that same method of interpretation, if you'll apply that to all, he tells you how to interpret verse two, but you apply that grid to all seven. Does that make sense? So it takes that's in symbols and hiddenness, and it brings it into a point of what we call revelation. But Jesus gives us what's called a primer. Your first grade book used to be called a primer, right? It teaches you your ABCs, teach you how to start reading, because these symbols of A, B, C, D, you have to learn that, and that's what we call a primer. And a primer gives you revelation and understanding. So Jesus gives seven parables. First two parables, he gives the primer to all seven. But not only that, it's a spiritual primer. So there's a key here that is important. It's very important. And let's look at it in verse 18 of chapter 13 of Matthew. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Now he's explaining the first parable here. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understand it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. You see that? This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and without joy receives it not. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while, but when tribulation or persecution comes, because of the word, by and by he is offended. verse 22. He also that receiveth seeing among thorns is he that heareth the word and care of this world in the deceitfulnesses of this world, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Now look at verse 23. But he that received the seed into the good ground, this is the primer now, is he that heareth the word and does what? He understands it. Which also beareth fruit among some forth, some a hundredfold, that bringeth forth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, some 30. Here's the point. Jesus, we live by faith, right? We live by faith. But here we see another component. It's called understanding. We do live by faith, but we're also encouraged to take on understanding of the Word of God. We can understand it. You say, well, that's too hard for me to understand. I don't know what that means. No, it's not. We can understand the Word of God. And here Jesus says that if you receive the Word and you understand it, then it'll bring forth 160 and 40. It'll bring forth an increase. So if I'm up here teaching, I'm trying to teach it in a method and in a way that you can understand what it's saying. Why? Because I know it's not, I'm not trying to convince you. I'm trying to bring you into understanding. So when I go in the way, the book of Acts with Paul's writings, I'm trying to teach you and show you so it'll bring understanding. I'm repetitive even in things that I say, but it's because we're trying to understand. We're not only, I believe it, but there's a place I'm supposed to go into called understanding. And that, now, what you have is, for those of you that like to write things down, faith plus understanding, faith plus understanding equals wisdom. Faith plus understanding then equals wisdom. A lot of people want more wisdom. You can get more wisdom. The more you understand the Word of God, what comes along with that is wisdom. You have faith in it, whether we understand it or not. But then the Holy Spirit brings us understanding. So the reason we come to church on Sunday, the reason we're here looking at the Word of God is because, okay, Alan, I already have faith in the Word of God. I want you to help bring understanding to what I have faith in. Does that make sense? So now with the Apostle Paul, Paul preaches and teaches in a way to bring understanding, not pressure. And can you hear what I'm saying? You can't pressure people into understanding. You can make them cow down and yield, but that doesn't produce a 160, 40-fold increase. If you cow down, it doesn't equal increase. It just means you've just been controlled by somebody. That's all it means. Now, if we're going to be the church of Jesus Christ, beside 64 out here on the side of the road, if we're going to be a church that has power, if we're going to do that, it requires understanding. And you got to have faith. I'm with you. But the increase comes out of understanding. A lot of people laugh at the Baptist, saying they're not full gospel, or they don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, or they don't do all this stuff. But you can't deny in times past that they didn't have the greatest increase into the kingdom than any other denominations. Why? They had understanding of the message of salvation. And God gave them an increase. Are you with me? Because they had that understanding. All right, is this a Baptist church? Yes, it is. Is it a Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, a little dash of Catholic, and whatever else? Yeah, that's who we are. That's the reason I say we're the church of misfit toys. We're all at different mile markers. This church does not look like a bunch of penguins. where you can't tell one from any other. We're not that. That's not who we are. It's what draws me to this place, that we're not a bunch of penguins. Now, I'm not against a bunch of penguins, because the Baptist did it well. Probably 2/3 sitting in here was born again through Baptist evangelicalism somewhere down the road. So, but I don't poo-poo Baptist. I've told you. Three includes one and two, but one and two doesn't include three. One being the Jewish nation under Jesus and John the Baptist. Two is the Jewish nation through the disciples after Jesus. Number three is the good and the bad, which is us. We include the first invitation of the Jew under John the Baptist. We embrace baptism. At one time, I believe you had to be baptized to be saved, because the Word of God said it. Now, did salvation save him? No, but the obedience did. He was obedient to the Word of God. Matter of fact, we had a man baptized last week. He came into the knowledge of the baptism of John. He said, all of a sudden, well, shoot, I need to be baptized in the baptism of John. Water baptism, when y'all get water, believe it or not, that's the baptism of John. That's what it is. It signifies you've repented. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and be baptized for salvation. That's what John said. So, do I think the baptism saved me? No. Do I think the obedience and repentance did? Of course. Just like you do now. So, we include the baptism of repentance of John. Second invitation was to the Jewish nation, and the day of Pentecost came. And we believe in the day of Pentecost, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, right? Now, just because the Baptist embraced the baptism of John for salvation, God gave him 160-40-fold. So, just as a side note, I would to God that we could just be as guilty as the Baptist and do that part well. Do we include the second invitation, which is the day of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Spirit? Yes. Did that do away with the baptism of John? No. It included. You saw last week in our teaching that that in the scriptures that Paul, they met this man called Apollos, Aquila and Priscilla did, a man called Apollos. Well, what do you believe? Well, the only thing I've heard is the baptism of John. They said, whoa, boy, have we got some stuff to tell you. Right? So they got with him and enlightened him and on all this other stuff they've been learning from Paul. And so what we discover is we want to be as strong as the Baptists have ever been in the baptism of John, the message of salvation. We want to be as strong as they've ever been with the outpouring of the Spirit at Pentecost, right? And there's a third one to come that I'm not going to tell you about today. Yes, we're not ready for that one. So, all right, let's pick up right here now. Oh, shoot, I hadn't done my old timer yet, have I? All right, let's do my old timer here, and we'll get on with so I can get past my introduction. I've told you, my mama always said, Alan, your introductions are just too long. That's all I hear every time, and I think I've got longer. Okay, we're lesson 102. There we go. Now, I'm reusing a few old timers here that I like. And this is Tozer. I'm sure a lot of you heard of that. Born in 1897, he died in 63. He was an American Christian pastor, author, magazine editor, and spiritual mentor for his accomplishments. Now, watch this. He received honorary doctorates. Now, the guy didn't go to college or anything. From Wheaton and Houghton colleges, and in 1919, 5 years after his conversion, and without formal education in Christian theology, he didn't go to school. Tozer accepted an offer to serve as a pastor of the first church. Of his first church, that began 44 years of ministry associated with the Christian and Missionary Alliance, an evangelical Protestant denomination. Here's one of his little sayings. To be effective, the preacher's message must be alive, it must be alarm, arouse, challenge. It must be God's present voice to a particular people. One other saying, quote of his, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important things about us." I like that one. And that was Tozer. So there's been many went before us that had a strong, strong conviction. And I love to read so we can see how they think. All right, moving on into this again, where we left off last week was a very interesting place of baptism of the Spirit. And I want us to understand it as much as we can understand it. Now, we're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've already given you my introduction to us men, the Holy Spirit must be female, because she just allows us to know a little bit about her as we go through life. You didn't hear my introduction. So the Holy Spirit gives us more understanding and more revelation as we move through life. If you're sitting there thinking you know everything about you got a PhD in the Holy Spirit, you also think you have a PhD on your spouse, which I'm telling you, you don't have. And the Holy Spirit's the same way. There's more to be known about this person called the Holy Spirit. So this is what we run into here. As we get into this first part of Acts 19, this is Paul at Ephesus. The disciples of John become Christians, which we covered some last week, and we'll explain the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the steady work of the gospel in Ephesus. Now, there is a misconception of the baptism of the Spirit. Keep this in mind. The Holy Spirit is what I call the spiritual world or the kingdom of God's holy makeup. In other words, the Holy Spirit, when we put on the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Christ, we look better than we really are. Did I offend anybody? The Holy Spirit makes you look better than you really are. The reason I call it the kingdom of God, it's the holy makeup of heaven, which is when we put on Christ, we put on the Spirit of Christ. And if you can't wait till everybody meets you, you're not getting what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit of Christ makes us look better than we really are. So this starts happening here. So why do we need the baptism of the Spirit? So we're more presentable. we look better than we really are. If you're really walking in the Spirit, people will think you're smarter than you really are. Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. Well, how did you know this, or how did you know that, or whatever? Well, it's the Holy Ghost. So don't confuse people honoring the Holy Ghost in you as it's you. The Holy Ghost makes us all look better than we really are. And it's my prayer that we all walk in the Holy Ghost before we meet each other. Amen? It's a good place to say amen. And you say, I know a great preacher that's now in heaven said, come as you are, and I'm all for that. But in the name of Jesus, don't stay that way. Right? We're wanting to be baptized in His Spirit. You see, if you're looking at being baptized in the Holy Ghost as making you into being a modern-day Avenger, so everybody will look at you on how powerful and strong you are. I'm not going to say you didn't get a baptism, but it wasn't the Holy Ghost. It was an unholy ghost. And you might even perform signs and wonders, but it doesn't mean you're walking in the Spirit of God. So now, let's look at this as we move quickly. Now, this also isn't about hype. It's about Jesus being preached plainly, the Spirit working truly, and the church growing with patience for each other. It's not about hype. As we come to church, and I said a minute ago, the Apostle Paul taught the scripture with understanding, not with pressure, not with hype. Now, you say, well, Alan, how do you draw a line between hype and just being excited? Well, here's how you draw a line. It's all about motive of the heart. It's about motive. Paul's motive was that people would get spiritual understanding so that they'd have an increase of the kingdom 160 and 40-fold. That was Paul's motive. Our motive is not for anybody to follow any leader here, anybody singing here. Our motive is that everybody will follow Christ. Be it known, there's no superstars at New Life. We don't promote them. I've had people come up to me and say, well, Alan, we need this person on the worship team. They have a great voice. I say, well, I hate to burst your bubble. We're not looking for great voices. We're looking for great character. That's what we're looking for. But in the natural, oh, we got to put this person up there or that because they're a great speaker. They're a great singer. But what are we looking for? It's great character through the Holy Ghost is what we're looking for. So let's move on. Alan, you're still doing an introduction. Now get on with it here. Acts 19, verses 2 through 3. Now he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now this is one slide I did last week. I'm just going to punch through it quickly so we can move on to where we're headed. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Okay, that's all they'd heard. John's baptism. And they believed John's baptism. They repented and got baptized. So here he's going around preaching everywhere, the baptism of John. Then somebody, Aquila and Priscilla, comes along the scene here and tells them there's more for you to learn. The good thing about Apollos is he was teachable. He was teachable. And if you're sitting here this morning with a hard head, that means you go back to Matthew 13, and it's called hard ground. Hard ground was hard-headedness, and you're not going to get any understanding. You're not going to get any 160, 40-fold. What makes the church stand out is the increase. It's the 160, 40 increase. That's what makes us stand out. These people, they're a step above everything else that's going on. Why? Because they're followers of Christ, baptized in His Spirit. And it gives these hundred, it gives this increased stuff. Now, is that money? No, doesn't exclude it. It probably is way down on the list, to be honest with you, because it tends to corrupt. You do know that, right? Now, watch it. Baptism of John. Paul starts with one question that brings everything into the light here. He says, have ye received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Now, this raises the question, can you believe and not be filled with the Holy Ghost? The answer is yes. Believe and not be full of the Holy Spirit. If you still get as angry as quickly and as every twice a day like you did 30 years ago, it's a good chance that you're still an unholy ghost redneck. Pretty good chance. Here's their response. We have not so much heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. So here we start finding out they had not heard, but we also find here that you got to hear it to get it. I'm not saying it's the only method. I'm sure God can zap you with it if He wants to. But our instruction here is you need to hear it. So if you're under my voice this morning, I'm telling you, you got to hear it. We have to receive the Holy Ghost. Now, through the book of Acts, I want us to notice something here. There's more than one way to receive it. You can't make a formula. Now, you're going to see here that Paul laid on hands. Well, that ain't the only way to receive the Holy Ghost. Right? We got several. Did you know there's about three different ways to get baptized in the book of Acts? Some people say, well, I don't believe in sprinkling. I'll tell you what, though. I was born Methodist and I was sprinkled. I've been ducked twice fully underwater. And I tried to walk on water one time, dang near drowned, and I got baptized then. First two took, and the last one didn't. Watch it here as we see the definition. The second question, and then their response. Here we go. Unto what, he says, then were you baptized? Paul explains that John's baptism was about repentance and pointing people to the one coming after him, which is Jesus, which is in verse 4. He says, unto what then were ye baptized? Now, their response was unto John's baptism. Now let's look at it here. John's baptism is Christ and his salvation was rather expected than had actually come. You say, well, Alan, why do you say that? It's because when under John's baptism, Jesus hadn't been crucified yet. So they repented, but it was more towards his coming, not his second coming. Now in Luke 16:16 it says this, and the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached and every man presseth into it. Now, see, get another little spiritual information here. The kingdom of God is preached, every man has to press into it. So as we're talking about this baptism, everyone that's listening under the sound of my voice, the scriptures are saying to us, if we want to encounter more of this Holy Spirit, we got to press into it. I was going to tell you, I've got a cat. I don't have a cat. A cat got me. I don't like cats, but it's a cool cat, isn't it, Michael? And I don't like cats. 73 years old, never liked cats. This is a cool cat. Cat found me. Somebody put it out at the barn, I guess. Huge cat. It's like a small mountain lion. Huge cat. I named him Fat Cat. That cat likes to be around me, and I appreciate it. Never would have thought it. Now, I don't have a dog. My wife has a dog and a bunch of horses. I got 700 cows, and I don't want to get too close to them. I'm as close as I want to be. And you know what I mean. But this cat, I let it out, but it wants to come in through the day. And everywhere I'm at, it'll want to be. It likes to get up to you and you touch him. That cat likes to be around my presence. This what this means here, every man press into it. We are to press into his presence. That's a conscious decision. That cat feels safe and comfortable in my presence. So what happens in this baptism is we press into it because the baptism of the Spirit is the presence of God. That's who it is. And you got to want to be around him. You got to want to get up to him and kind of, the cotton picking cat wants to touch me. He just wants to touch me. For some reason he feels safe when he touches me. That's what this is meaning, to press in. So we've got to have this mindset that we want to be touched by the Holy Spirit. We want to touch God. We want to get close to him. We just like him. We want to touch him, get close to him. We feel safe. Now, last week, I talked about these five different verbs about the Holy Spirit. This is when it's used singularly, all right? It uses in a singular form. We're born of the Spirit into a family. That's in John 3. This is a one-time baptism of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So being born of the Spirit is a one, just like flesh. It's a one-time being born. This is one-time being baptized in the flesh here. You're born of the Spirit. Baptized of the Spirit into the body. This is a one-time thing. In 1 Corinthians, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink of one Spirit. So we're baptized into the body of Christ. That's a baptism of the Spirit. Now what you got to see here, for by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit does this baptism. You don't do it. The Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body. The Spirit did that one. Now, indwelt by the Spirit. Romans 8:9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. It's through this other one. One-time event, sealed by the Spirit. You can believe how you want to believe, but this is the reason I believe in eternal security, a seal by the Spirit unto redemption. It says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel to your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. That's done by the Holy Spirit. That's not done by your behavior keeping it. That's a Spirit operation. It's not a your operation. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, so as we see, those are one-time things of the Spirit. Now, here are frequent baptisms of the Spirit. Means it can happen many times. I want to do this one in Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine, but wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I often wondered, why in the world did the Holy Ghost use wine there? Isn't there a lot of other things in the world that the Holy Ghost could use other than wine? But the truth is, there's a part of the wine that he gives an indicator factor that it makes you feel good. I can't escape that. It's a biblical example. If your religious spirit has a problem with it, mine does too. But still, I get what the Spirit's saying. And it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit whereunto ye are resealed. Then he says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is his excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is a continual process. It's actually a daily process, then all through the day. So we see this baptism is a continual baptism. Okay? Now, as we get on into, which I, good gracious, I just now got up to where I was last week. As we continue through this, and we see what's happening, it says that we're continually filled. This operation here, be not drunk with wine where is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. This part right here is done by you pressing in. This is the indication here. And I'll tell you something. I'm not going to have time to show you this, but Jesus is the one that does this filling. Jesus himself, he's doing it. The Holy Spirit's doing that, putting you in the body and all this. This one, you have to engage in pressing in. As that cat pressed in to me, he got my attention. And I feed him and I give him water. And don't you tell nobody. I pet that little old cat. Why? Because he presses into me. And that cat gets 160-fold. If you don't believe it, come to my office and I'll show you. What produces that? It's the pressing. It's the pushing. If you come into church and you say, God, touch me if you can. I did that one time. I've told you the story and I'll not say it again. God slapped me with the spirit of laughter, which I don't believe in. I laughed for 3 solid days. Thought I was going to die. And you think I'm lying, but I am not. It was not a good thing. I do not recommend it. You're humiliated. You can't breathe. You can't sleep. There's nothing good about it, except at the end of it, it deposited joy in my life that I didn't one time have. You don't have to go that route. Because if you say, God, touch me if you can, he might just take you up on it. But he'll drag you through it. You don't walk. But still yet, this is a daily pressing in. I'm trying to emphasize here, there's a difference in being close to the Spirit of God. And it's by consciously saying, God, I want to press in to your Holy Spirit. And as we say that and engage in that, we get God's attention. This baptism I'm speaking of comes from Jesus himself, from God the Father, if you will. Because you want to be close to him. He takes notice. The 160-40-fold increase of Matthew 22 comes from Jesus the Father. And it's a real increase. That increase is what makes us peculiar. Okay? We're not near peculiar enough. I mean, I'm not. Y'all look pretty weird, but you're not peculiar enough. Right? What makes us peculiar? It's this increase from God. Alan, what's the increase? He'll scare the bejeebies out of you when he gives you the increase of his spirit, of his baptism. Now, just so happens, I'm at the same place I was last week, which is, you can be on the right side of Easter, but on the wrong side of Pentecost. That's what I was going to teach today. But evidently the Holy Ghost said something different. So let's stand. You got a 10-minute break, and I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of your spirit. Lord, I do ask and pray that these listening to this teaching will be as Bereans. And they'll study the scriptures to see if these things they've just been taught are so. To see if they're true, if they measure up to the word of God. And Lord, I do ask and pray for this church and this people. I ask for a true filling of your spirit and baptism of your spirit. That we might have this increase of your spirit. We might have this increase of your kingdom. That we might give it away. Be a pure, peculiar people. That, Lord, we could be in the day of Pentecost. In the true power of your spirit. Not in trying to hype anything. Just making the way for the presence of the Lord. Teach us and let us be hungry for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.